Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Everything. Praise the Lord. Are you ready for the word of God? So I want to share something. I know every other branch is preaching something else, but I have a step to share something. The reason is this. I couldn't be with you last week, and this is part of my curriculum for this year, and I have to make sure that I share on this. I've not taught on this in a while. And you see, this church grew so fast. So fast. 2018, 200 members, now 11,000. And so some of you don't really know where we are coming from. And so I want to try my best to carry every one of us along. Praise the Lord. If you've been here at least from 2018, raise your hand. Just a few OGs. OGs before IG. So one of the things I like to do, especially recently, is to ask people their CCI story. How did you join CCI? And I tell you, I've heard the wildest of stories. One of the supernatural marks of this ministry, I've told you time and again, especially this year, every day someone dreams about us. Every single day. You know, someone sent a voice note to me. Someone on our contacts forwarded it to her just 3 days ago. She said, "That man you put on your profile, he appeared to me in the dream. I was in trouble and God used him to save me." You know, and that's the kind of stuff that we see every single day. So there is that, supernatural stories like that. Then there are some people, for more carnal reasons. There's a guy, he seated in this corner. Let me tell you how he joined this church. There was a girl he liked. And she was on his contact. He was always monitoring her WhatsApp stories. So he was looking for an opportunity to get to know her. And so she put up the banner for our church. By the way, if you're single, that's a hack there. She put up the banner. Larry, why are you laughing so hard? No, I'm not saying it's the one. I'm just... So she put up a banner for her. She put up a banner for service. And so he came to church. You know, maybe he will get the opportunity to meet her. Guess what? She wasn't in town. She just put up the banner as a committed church member. You know, so he came. So disappointed she wasn't around. She just said, "Well, I'm here. I can as well pray." And then I was prophesying. This was someone who had been out of job. Not Larry now. Maybe not Larry, you know, but someone. He had been out of job and felt that the responsible thing at the time to do, apart from other side hustle, was to do Uber for a while. And that day, I remember that service because I felt the stir of the Spirit. And the Lord said that this week he was going to change some people's lives and all of that. And, you know, there the person was, for the first time in church in a while, saying, "Lord, if this man is a man of God, fulfill it in my life." And so during the week, he went about his Uber business. And there was this particular stubborn customer who had change and did not want to leave it, and he didn't want to leave it. So they said, "Hey, let's look for change. You've experienced that before, haven't you?" And so they came down and were looking for change from shop to shop. After he had given the person change eventually, he found himself in front of an office. And he just thought, "I have my CV in the car. Let me go in here. I'm well-dressed." And he walked in there. The HR of that company visits that branch only once every 2 months. Only once. And she happened to be there at that exact time, interviewing people. And when he came in and he said, "Why are you here?" He said, "I need a job." And this is what they said. So you are the one from the presidency who has been delaying us. Going, going, going. So there was no time to say, it's not me. I'm not, you know. See, let me tell you something. If you don't believe in God, I won't argue with you again. I don't have time for hey, God. Going, 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 and join them. And he's the one from the presidency. Let him in. Long story short, he got the job. They paid him at about 650,000 entry level. By the way, ladies, let me tell you something. A lot of the guys here, they came looking for you. And so here's something you would do. Before you tell them no, make them pray. Let them read books. Read Bible. You know, drag it for a while. Then if you're not interested, say no. It is so winning. You must be born again. You that God has been trying to get. You did not hear. Then you want one of his daughters. You must be born again. I know you think I'm joking. But I'm telling you, some of them here, nah, you did it fine. But having said all of that, some of you stumbled into this church by accident, one way or another. You didn't have the discipline to look for a church the proper way. You are just blessed to be here. But it's important that we systematically teach you from the Word of God how to choose the right church. You know, so you see, oh my God, so much I'm trying not to say. There are 5 marks of a good church. 5 marks. There are some things that aren't as important. Some people major on the minors and they minor on the majors. Thank God for good sound equipment. It's not the most important. Thank God for good ambience. It's not the most important. It's not the most important. And that's why I want to bring it up again. I would always have a special place in my heart for people who were there when we were just, you know, when we were 50. You must have seen something. You must have seen something. And I hope that even now you can see through all the aesthetics and see the genuine call of God. This is important. Five marks before I join any church. Maybe I relocate to some place where there's no CCI branch, or maybe someone is watching me online right now, unchurched, thinking of how to join a church. There are 5 marks. I call them non-negotiable marks. And the first is this. Before you join any church, you want to find out what they believe about salvation. Please, did you hear what I just said? What do they believe about the gospel? Listen, and I'm not talking about what they put in their statement of faith on a website, because you see, some people just put things like that for putting sake. You see, you can tell what people believe by what they say and what they do. What is their active conviction? Find out about that. And listen, when you make this one of your criteria, you will discover one problem with many churches. First and foremost, you will not be able to find out what they believe. You will dig through archives, listen to all the sermons since the inception of the church. You will not find one sermon clearly explaining salvation. And that's one of the problems we have in this day. Understand this. There are many ways you can gather people. If miracles are happening in a place, people will gather, and every genuine ministry must have proofs, signs, wonders. Jesus said these signs shall follow them that believe. But you see, that's not the epicenter of our gathering. And that's why, you see, Jesus gathered a crowd in John 6, having fed them twice. Now, These are people who were overburdened with taxation and they are receiving free food from these prophets. Mind you, you're dealing with Jews. So their mind is cast back to Moses, who fed people on a daily basis. So they want him to do it every day. They even quoted Moses. They said Moses gave people bread. But the moment Jesus shifted their focus from what they can get to who he is, a lot of them went back and stopped following him from that day. Salvation is the way to test the motives of any crowd. And I want you to know this. Jesus is not bothered if some people stop following him, if they were following him for the wrong reason to begin with. The crowd stopped following and he didn't say, "Hey, come back, come back, come back." Please, do you understand what I'm saying? You see, the end does not justify the means in the kingdom. When it comes to salvation, there is... Listen, the way is narrow. The conviction is specific. Not just I believe in God. What about God do you believe? And so it's specific. And let me say this. If you attend the church 7 months... And no, not once did they preach on the gospel. You might be in a place that has lost its way. Now, the funny thing is, what I'm saying is so basic, but things are so bad, it seems like a harsh statement. That's how bad things are. That's how bad things are. If you're not preaching the gospel, what are you doing? Why are you gathering people? Why are they? Why? What's your message? If the only time you hear about the cross is Easter and Christmas, you may be in a ministry that has lost its way. And mind you, there are a lot of sincere people who just don't know any other way. That's what they copied. But you see, we are dealing with the health of your soul. You can't grow that way. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your soul cannot be healthy with that kind of priority. You must hear about Christ and what he did to save humanity. You must. That's the first and most important thing. So two things to look out for. I mean, these are subsets of the first point I just gave you. If you find no teachings on salvation, run away. If you find wrong teaching on salvation, run away. I want to show you a text. Some of you have never really considered this, but it's so important, and I want you to see it in the Word of God. Come on, are you in church today? Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians. Oh my God, this is so important. Galatians chapter 5. I said 15. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 verse 11. Why am I reading this? The problem is, when you say, I want to make sure that the church I'm going to attend believes that there is no other name given under heaven by which men should be saved but by the name of Jesus. Well, that's a good start. But it's not all there is to it. Because you have to understand that the people against whom Paul did his apologia in his time, the people Paul argued with the most, they believed that. So the problem was not that they didn't believe that Jesus was the way. They felt like that way had an addendum. So it was Jesus plus other things. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but you must also be circumcised. Yes, you believe in Jesus, but you must also do this and do that and do this. Listen, make no mistake, any Christian who downplays works as a believer might have lost his way. But you see, our works as believers are a result of salvation, not a prerequisite. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works. He created us to do. He empowered us to do. We are not doing to be. We become to do. Do you understand the difference? This is important. And so this is what Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 verse 11. He says, "And I, brethren, if I still preach circumcision, why do I still suffer persecution? He says, then the offense of the cross has ceased. Everybody say, the offense of the cross. Let me tell you something. And this is something a lot of people do not know. There is such a thing as the offense of the cross. And what is Paul saying? Paul is saying, if I adjust my message just a little bit, I will have many friends. If I adjust my message just a little bit, just be silent on circumcision. He says the persecution will cease. The offense of the cross will cease. He said, when you teach the true message, a lot of people will fight you. They will hate your guts just for your conviction. Paul said, I'm dealing with this. I'm not telling you something I'm not dealing with. There are people who don't like me just because of what I teach. Because they want addendums to the gospel. Listen, do you know how egregious it is for the thrice holy God to take on human flesh, walk on this earth for 33 and a half years, and then someone says, maybe something like, just for example, any lady who wears trousers will go to hell? Do you know how disturbing that is? First and foremost, this is not an endorsement to people who dress indecently. There's a way you would dress in this church. We, you know, you're always welcome. We love you, but we'll give you a shawl. Just to ensure that, you know. Don't get me started. Don't do that. Stop it. You know, so what for decency, but you see, some people reduce these whole things, you know, and then there are boxes to tick. Oh, that's wrong. And Paul is saying, the offense of the cross can cease. I just need to adjust a little, but we won't. Praise the name of the Lord. There is no other name given under heaven by which men should be saved. I don't know how much clearer this message needs to be. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves. Please, that not of yourselves. What does it mean? How much simpler can it be? It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But you see, first and foremost, we're dealing with a lot of extremes today. And I think that just caused a bit of retrogression in the prevalence of the true message. Because you have some people, let me say this, you have some people whose presentation of the message of grace is extreme. I'm saying it here. Let me say this. If you have ever fought to defeat any habit and you did it successfully, you know that you cannot do that by excusing even subconsciously. And telling yourself is not that bad. You know that, don't you? You must come to a point where you unequivocally hate the sin. And so when you have a presentation that doesn't, on the other hand, teach people consecration. Do you understand what I'm saying? Teach people how to live out a life that is consistent with their conviction. You have a problem. And I want to say, Paul did not preach like that. You will notice that in almost every gospel, Paul introduced the book by telling them who they were in Christ and then rounded off the book telling them the responsibility that conviction bestows on them. And so in Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 2, he tells you who you are in Christ. In Colossians chapter 3, he then tells you, if you then be risen, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. And then he says, mortify your members. So that's the proper presentation. Do you understand what I'm saying? It matters how it is shared. But guess what? People who now stay on the other extreme, they are noble, but they are wrong. Think about it. If you were in Paul's day and someone is saying you must be circumcised, even if you believe in Jesus, you will feel like they are spirit coconut. That these are deep people. They are willing to go the extra mile. But God considers it an abomination. Do you understand what I'm saying? When it comes to salvation, it is Christ and Christ alone. Say aloud, amen. And the reason this is important is because you don't want people who fought for the freedom of this message to be looking from heaven wondering what we are doing. People died for this conviction. Swords were put on people's neck to recant their conviction. They refused. They died for this message. It took a lot of bravery for you to have the freedom to even hold the Bible in your hand. Are you aware? Have you read about the Reformation? By the way, the Reformation had its excesses to talk about that another day. But you see, so we've come a long way for you to be nonchalant about that. Let me show you something. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14 very quickly. Please, are you learning anything? Ephesians chapter 4 verse 14. Everybody read this together. 1, 2, go. He says that you should no longer be children tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. You know what this is telling you? He's telling you that when you attain some level of maturity spiritually, you can't just go anywhere and be blessed. That's what he's telling you. Now, let me say this. For a lot of people who are immature in the things of the spirit, they think that being blessed anywhere is love work. But the Bible says you are a child. When you grow spiritually, you know. Listen, so there are two balances I want to strike. First and foremost, oh, this is important. There are many other churches getting it right. Say loud, amen. Amen. God will always have a remnant, no matter how bad things are. And the reason I need to quickly throw this in is because, men of God here present, listen to me. One short test of the purity of your motive is that besides your ministry, there are other ministries you are rooting for. It is easy for you to root for your own. And the reason this has to be addressed is because there is a secret superiority complex plaguing the church. And a lot of people think they are better than others. God always has a remnant. Do you understand what I'm saying? So I want to get that out of the way. But there is also another extreme. If you are such a person where you just say, it's church, church is church, you will join cult one day. You would have entered before you knew. You know, someone was telling me, particularly in the U.S., there are a lot of places, they have buildings, they look like church, everything, they meet on Sunday, but it's a cult. You go to some places, just search on Google, don't do your research. You will be shocked. Someone went to a church in this Lagos. At some point in the service, they brought out sacrifice. Brought out an animal, put on an altar, slaughter. That's when the person knew, hey, I have entered. Of you, the way you are going, any program, there is any special program, we check, we'll see your face. There's someone in the Bible that said goes to and fro. They say, are you the person? I'm just saying, listen. Anywhere you're led to, and he's teaching the truth, go. Do you understand? But there is, you need to be careful. It's wild out there, I'm telling you. I'm not saying this because we're big. Those of you who have been here a while know I've even calmed down. Oh my God. You know, sometimes when I see some drama on social media, I just smile when I delay. Before the Lord walked on my heart. You know, there was a sermon. Before I started, I first played some other sermons on the screen. What was in that service? I first played like four. And I said, what you just watched is rubbish. That's how I started my sermon. You think you're radical? You didn't learn. You didn't learn. You didn't learn. Calm down. Please, are you with me? This is important. I want to read something to you before I close this first point, and I'll be as fast as I can. Turn your Bible to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23 to 24. The Bible says, then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, a lot of people have varying interpretations of this. Some say, oh well, there was a type of gate called the eye of a needle. It was a very small gate, and in those days, if you wanted to enter the city with your camel, to pass that gate, you will need to remove the burdens on the camel, and then the camel will need to squat and run through. Well, it sounds nice, and some even have some metaphorical interpretation of that it means to enter the kingdom, you must humble yourself. It sounds nice. I could preach that well if I believed it. But there is no historical evidence that any such gates existed. And not just that. Why would anyone go through that much trouble if there are bigger gates? Do you understand what I'm saying? Makes no sense. So, what then does this mean? Listen, you say, the reason why some people are looking for other interpretations is because the literal meaning seems impossible. A camel going through the eye of a needle? That's the point. He's telling you that by your effort, it's impossible. That's why when he said this, the disciples now said, who then can be saved? And he said, with men, it is impossible. Everybody say, with men, it is impossible. Then he says, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. He's letting you know the miracle of salvation is akin to a camel going through the eye of the needle. Only God can do that. And when you get that, you are beginning to get the point. If you think that you will ever get to heaven and say, heaven at last, I tried. And that Jesus will come to you and say, hey, daughter, hey, son. I say, wait, hey, let me catch my breath. Huh? You two, you know I tried. Bring the records. Bring my crown first. You've been lied to. That's not how it works. Please, are you listening to me? It says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. God sovereignly works a miracle in your life where you were utterly helpless. The first thing to watch out for is their conviction of salvation. Amen, somebody. Number two, their theology about money. This one is very important. The reason I'm going to say this, for many reasons, this is important. You see, one of the requirements for a preacher is that he must not be greedy or filthy looker. Meaning, if you like money too much, you shouldn't be a man of God. The Bible says that. 1 Timothy 3. If you like money too much, you shouldn't be a man of God. It's clear in the Word of God. And there is a warning that in the last days, preachers will arise making a merchandise of you. Meaning, their work is to look for creative schemes to extort money from you. That is what they view the anointing for. There are some men of God. The moment they know you are rich, they will start seeing visions about you regularly. There is always something to break. I want to visit your house. There's something. What? This. Calm down. What irks me about this is that, you see, one of the major things that Jesus emphasizes in his earthly ministry is how people, in the name of religion, lost their humanity. That's the reason he gave the example of the Good Samaritan, that you can be a Levite. You just finished service in the temple and you see a man dying and you walk past him. Because you see, religion can condition your generosity to just service. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you lose your humanity without knowing and you feel justified. So Jesus was trying to reroute that and to correct that. It is possible for you to see someone who had been lame 38 years and he's walking now, and all that comes to your mind is, why are you carrying your bed on the Sabbath? That's what came to their mind. Religion can be blinding. You can be so vile, so wicked. See the way some people act online. Insulting people, rude to people, and in doing so, they think they are being spiritual. It's a problem, it's blindness. You can become a horrible person, and we'll prefer you when you are a sinner. The same thing happens even in our generosity. You know, Jesus said something. He said, God commanded, Matthew 15:4. You need to read this when you get home. Matthew 15:4. He said, God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he that curses his father and mother shall be put to death. He says, but you say. Now, he's talking about how some people use religion to even bypass the word of God and come up with a system for their own personal empowerment. He says, but you say, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God. So now, this is what he's saying. There is a principle in the word of God, honor your father and your mother. But he says, these people now said, well, whatever you could have given your parents, if you give it to God, you are justified. And what Jesus was saying in essence, in texts like this and Matthew 23:23, is like, you shouldn't have done one and left the other. How does this apply to some of you? Are you ready for this? You give to church regularly. Do you give to your parents? Do you give to your loved ones? This is what Jesus is saying. There is a way you can have a religious tunnel vision where the only generosity in your life is maybe to your man of God. You've changed this car twice. You've never thought of your parents. Someone can raise you through primary school, secondary school, university. Then when you have a job, you join a church and forget them. Let me tell you this. It is not of God. And first and foremost, I'm not talking to everybody. Some of you, you don't have any form of generosity in your life. Oh, there are people like that. Yeah, we're going to be, you know. So I'm not talking to you. Some of you, if I'm dying, you don't know. And it's the people who are stingy that like counseling. 8 hours, they're still like, oh, sir, I need... Today, not today, have you? Stingy people like counseling. If they die, they've not even asked, are you hungry? 10 hours. So I'm not talking about that, but there must be that balance in your life. Listen, before you get angry with me, did you see Jesus said it? Jesus was complaining about the fact that some people were using the religious route as an excuse. When you see a man of God creatively crafting new ways to get money from you constantly, listen, when a church is in genuine need, they must be able to just come out and say, we need this. And do you understand what I'm saying? And some of you are so hard. Oh my God. Some people, the pastors they have, they fit each other. It's match made from heaven. Or from hell. Because if they just come and say, we need to buy drum sets, you don't have compassion. So, but when they say, I see an arrow. You just quickly have to see. Please, laugh, but hear what I'm saying. So, well, this is very serious. Look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 14. I will move on from this. It's sensitive, but it has to be said. Matthew 23, 14. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. It says, for you devour widows' houses, and for a pretense, making long prayers. Now, even a widow, the breadwinner is dead. You are still collecting money. You go there and pray. And Jesus said it. Is it in your Bible? Don't look at me funny. You don't care. I saw a video. You go to secondary school and you say if you want to, not secondary school, university, campus fellowship. If you want to give 1 million, come out. With which job? With which job? We cover up a lot of atrocious acts. You are a man of God. You know, I will never forget. This was in Ikoto Egbe when we just started. Someone brought an envelope, said, the Lord said I should give you. I said, where did you get this money? He said, it's my school fees. I said, God didn't talk to you. If you give your school fees, you are a thief. Do you know that? If your parents give you money, say, pay your fees, then you use the money for any other reason, you stole it. It's not yours to give. You know, some people, you will be preaching what would save their life, they'll still be angry.
You'll be squeezing face.
It's not yours to give. Isn't that common sense? It's part of what I'm saying. A normal person knows that. That's common sense. But religion can blind your eyes. You don't see that. You don't see that. It's not your money to give. You can't give your school fees. That's not sacrificial giving. That's stealing.
Today go hot, though.
Let me just say this. Please, don't let church create an imbalance in your life. In church, Monday to Friday, you no time for your kids. No, your marriage is failing. That's not the will of God. Please, are you listening to me? That's not the will of God. And as you are giving to God, Have savings, have investments, be responsible, plan your giving, except the Lord stirs you. You know, preachers are not hype men. They shouldn't, any sermon that will make you finish giving and say, what? That's hype, man. Is that not what hype men do? Please wait now. Before you say, is that not what hype men do? If you have finished giving and on your way back, you say, what just happened? That's Ubija. They don't job you.
Hallelujah.
All generosity is from the heart. Every man as he proposes in his heart, let him give. It's simple. But that doesn't mean, some people, you can never propose.
That's another teaching.
That you have never on your own said, never.
That's another problem.
You know, but it's still the teaching of God's word. As a principle, I think men of God don't press too much so that people can come to a conviction in their hearts. And let me say this. If you do a good job as a pastor, it won't be hard. It won't be hard. It won't be hard. If you have to preach for people to give, it says a lot about you. It says a lot about you. Amen. What is number one? What is number two? Now, what is number three? Number three, they must have a charismatic ministry. And I want to add, in a corporate way. The reason I want to say this is this. Paul says this. He says, be not deceived. Evil association corrupts good manners. Don't think you can be in the wrong church and be okay. Are you listening to me? Don't be deceived. Oh my God. When it comes to the spiritual, the flames have to be fanned. He says, fan the flames of the impartation that was put on you. You must, any church that talks low on tongues or on the flow of the spirit, it will affect you. It will disappear in your life. The same Elijah that called down fire can run when Jezebel said, call him for me. The things of the spirit are very strange. If you don't constantly encourage it, it will disappear. So when you are in a church that maybe talks low on it, even if it is side talk, there is problem. Listen to me. There is problem. Don't think you'll be okay. You may not survive it. Problems that you could have come out of can be your end because of that. Don't joke with it. Listen, you might have had bad experiences. Tough experiences. You lost a loved one. You know, another. But you see, it's still right there. God works miracles. And he's encouraging you to exercise spiritual gifts. The thing about spiritual gifts is like a muscle. You get stronger with use. So if you're not constantly using it, putting yourself in an environment where you see it, it will die. It will die. It will die. So you must make sure that you protect that environment of encouraging spiritual things in your spirit. And not just that. Find a church that doesn't just dwell on the anointing of the man of God. Listen to me. The reason it's a church is so that the man of God can help you grow spiritually till we all come. But if you are in a church where you don't grow in your consciousness, in the consciousness of the power of God at work in your own life, something is wrong. If all the miracles are from the pastor alone, there's a problem. Because there will be times you will go through a hardship and the pastor will not be available. What do you do then? The message must encourage you to excel in the things of the Spirit. That's the God of the Bible. Always ready. You know, every time I study the Bible, I'm just like, Jesus must have been the most secure leader in the world. You are walking on water for the first time. The record, people have not even heard about it, and you are ready for it to be broken. Peter says, I want to join you. He said, come. Do you get that? He didn't say, oh, wait now. What do you mean? Let me see. He didn't say, do it tomorrow. He said, come now. Now, join me. Peter comes to the same Jesus. The fig tree you cursed is dried up. He said, you too, you can say to a mountain, what kind of leader wants you to do even more than what he's doing? The works that I do, you shall do also and greater. What kind of leader is that? Please, are you with me? So you need that in your life. And then the fourth one I'm going to talk about, it's very simple, very subtle, but very important. It must be a mission-minded church. Listen to me. Not a church growth-minded church. There's a difference. Every church should be church growth-minded. But I am talking about mission-mindedness. And two simple ways you will know that the church is mission-minded is by its curriculum. When a church is throwing things into the mix just so that more people will come, you can tell. You know you can tell. Isn't it true? Every day, Jesse night, Suya night, Amala night, Edekaikon, different things just to bring people. God, today go hot, have you? You know. You know. Programs that have no business with church, you don't mind. You are in a church, they don't open Bible once. Service. The pastor can even say, I had a sermon, but I just changed my mind. Let's just gist. These things happen. Listen, I am not saying this to castigate anybody. Well, I am. No. Yeah, because those... See, what is wrong is wrong. And some people need to stop what they're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see, I'm talking about your own soul. Let me say this. When you attend a church that is getting it right, your role in the global mission of God to win more people into his kingdom, you will have a stronger sense of responsibility. If you attend a church and it doesn't cross your mind to tell anyone about Jesus, something is wrong. Something is wrong. You are okay. You know, all that you do in the church, you come, you give, you know, and then it's a Lagosian behavior in particular. You know, we like to give a lot of money to absorb ourselves from any other responsibility. That's even how we raise children. Once you pay fees, buy clothes, you know, it's like you have permitted yourself to be absent. The spirit in this land, we use money to excuse ourselves, to buy our rights to be absent. It's your birthday. I can't come, but send me account number. You know, and some of it is legitimate, you know, sometimes, because by the time you think of traffic, you know, and all of that. But don't let the spirit of Lagos get you. Otherwise, you will discover you would have made a lot of money, but you will look around, no authentic friendship. You know what I'm saying. No authentic friendship. You don't show up for anybody. Nobody shows up for you. You will grow, you will be lonely. The way you are going. I was counseling a boy and he just opened up to me about his sour relationship with his dad. It got so bad one day he told his dad, he said, I like your money, but I don't like you. I know your money, but I don't know you. May your children not say that to you one day. Some people will be parenting children who are in trouble. They can't even see it. You can't notice. Can't notice. The moment they're around you, you feel there's so much of an inconvenience. You give them tab. Take, go and watch cartoon. By the time the son now starts painting nails and he's doing like this,
you will now be crying. You know?
All right. Please be mission-minded. Listen, some of you have relatives who are not saved. It has never occurred to you to preach to them. It has never even dawned on you to share the gospel with them. Or at least do, you see, one simple thing you can do, invite them to church. I know there is something, especially in the African context, we call it in local parlance, see finish. You understand what I'm saying? Has it ever happened? Something you were trying to teach your friend in the word of God, they did not hear. Then they come here, I teach it, then they understand it. Has it happened to you? It happens. Bring them to church. Bring them for special programs. Let me tell you something. One hack. Any special event in your life, naming ceremony or anything, just say, we're celebrating in church. Come. All right? God knows how to catch people that way. Please, are you listening to me? But you must make sure you are actively winning souls. Active. Tell people about Jesus. Many times you preach to people and they, you know, what, some will start crying and say, no one ever bothered to tell me this. Tell your loved ones about Jesus. You say you are shy. Then now, God forbid, the person is on the sick bed. Boldness will come from nowhere. You are now jacking the person. Believe now, believe now. Where did the boldness come from? It's bad behavior. For sense of urgency to only dawn on you when it's almost too late. That's why you were failing in school.
Hey, God. Okay, I need to calm down this sermon.
I'm just saying it's a pattern that shows up in every aspect of your life. You understand?
Well, you fail, Abi, no fail.
If you didn't fail, it won't pain you now. Why are you so hard? It's good. Is everything okay? Bring your result.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, I'm just say, let's focus now. Tell people about Jesus. And then you see, in every call, you discover your own. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not asking to start a church or anything. Just a sense of responsibility. You must be able to say what you are doing for the gospel. Listen, one of the best testimonies of my life in this church is me at a gym, you know, and I'm trying to preach to someone. I said, are you born again? Yes. Are you filled with the Spirit? Yes. And he said, by the way, the person that got me filled with the Spirit is a member of your church. It made me so happy. I say, my person don't come here. My person don't come here. And that's beautiful. Be mission-minded. Find a way. Play your part. It's not just about being a part of the church. Don't just stand your church. Stand Jesus. Stand the message. And be active in it. To be sure you're following or you're followed, and because I'm done. What's number one? What's number two? What's number three? And what's number four? Hallelujah. Right there on your seat, just pray in the Spirit. Let the Lord touch your heart on how to be more effective in all of this. Be more effective.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.